your digital book club.
Hello and welcome, all you bookish bitches.
Hello, hi, again.
This is Young Adultish, your digital book club, where I, Allie, have gotten 0 days without fucking up a podcast intro.
Yep, here we are again.
Anyway, that's Ginny.
Hi, I'm Ginny.
Welcome back. What are we talking about this week, Ginny?
We're talking about more books. Surprise, surprise. We're actually talking about the same book as we talked about last time, but, you know. Any dire news that we have to share before this?
I'm tired and You're a hot mess.
And a hot mess. Is that news, though?
It feels like news to me.
Okay. Well, this is Young Adultish, where you probably have noticed that we have young adult struggles.
We do. It's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a thing.
Our podcasts come out semi-regularly, but sometimes they don't. So
because
you know.
We pick big ass books because we like them.
I know.
Thick.
Yeah, we do. We have picked some kind of large books to read through. I was gonna say, so our very first book that we picked was so long.
It was like 800.
It was like 800 pages, and then we were regretting it later. We were like, why did we do this?
To ourselves.
As our first book, and this one's
good. At least
this one
was good.
This one's like 600, so yeah. it's a little bit shorter. But yeah, and our. A couple of other books before that were not quite as long, but we're kind of in
the...
It
was still a journey.
yeah, it's a journey.
As it always is with the Shadowhunters.
Only else.
Because we have jobs.
Yeah.
To stay on top of, and we, like, do other stuff besides this podcast. We got projects.
Right. So, keeping us somewhat sane.
Define sane.
Exactly, I just said somewhat.
Keeping us occupied.
Occupied is a good word.
Occupied is good. But... Yeah, I think we're just a week late because we didn't read. Or I didn't read. You read.
I did read. But then once we decided that we should collect our thoughts and actually like work on this one a little bit because there's... So the Shadowhunter like universe is
all
pretty
very
large.
Tied
and this
into
book
each other.
Is a lot of... Yeah, this book, you know, we
it's a good
a
book on its own.
It is.
But in order to truly appreciate a lot of it, you need to read like...
Well, I had to read three books.
Books and one chapter of an anthology. And like...
Yeah, exactly. So
it's a hard experience.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know, and I am glad I read those books for it, but I was definitely just like, I had to read like so many books for this. Well, and then that was the problem is that once you finish it, you were like, hey, you should read the chapter of this Ghost of Shadowmark.
Okay.
And I was just like, are you kidding? I had to read another thing. I already read three books for this one book.
So the thing is, I mentioned last week that I knew what Matthew's secret was.
You did.
And I was reading this book, and I was like, I know I didn't read this far. I really know the first time I read this, I did not read this far. And I got to the end, and I was just like, now hold up.
Yeah.
I was like, why do I know this? And then I did some Googling, of course. And then it turns out that it was actually in one of the anthology series.
Right.
Because Cassandra Clare has also published a handful of anthology series at this point. There's
Ghosts of the Shadow Market.
Ghosts of the Shadow Market, which is like one question. There's
Red
like,
Scrolls.
Which Red is Scrolls is a
Magnus
full book.
And... Oh, okay.
I believe.
Yeah. Gotcha.
I don't know.
But that one's a Magnus and Alec thing.
Right. And
but
then there's Tales of the Shadowhunter Academy.
Yes, that one. Tales of Shadowhunter Academy.
I think there's one more that I'm just not thinking of at the moment.
Right. Yeah.
But... Yeah, so it turns out I had read those. And I was
like, yeah, for real. Because that was the thing, is you had asked me, you were like, do you know Matthew Secret? I'm like, I mean,
I know he's a sad boy.
Yeah.
And an alcoholic.
I know that he has a secret. Okay. But then, yeah, I was waiting for it the whole time. Like, what is the secret? What is the secret?
I know. I was too, because I wanted to, like, refresh myself. And I was like, why isn't it coming up?
And it never came up. So, spoiler alert, his secret doesn't come up in this book.
So that brings us into our actual spoiler alert. Mm-hmm. Spoilers for the entire book of Chain of Gold, written by Cassandra Clare, which is the first novel in the Last Hours trilogy and one of many books in the Shadowhunters Chronicles.
Mm-hmm.
Also, spoiler alert for Ghosts of the Shadow Market.
Yeah, we are going to address that one story.
The story is the first chapter, I think, once they're all like chronicled, but it's called Cast Long Shadows.
Okay.
And it focuses on Matthew. And we are going to address that today. So,
spoilers for any of the Infernal Devices, in case we happen to say anything
exactly
about it. But we've already discussed them also in our book bands. So,
yes, if you want some just rambling about the Herondales and Herondale Boys and also Carstairs and of the gym variety and Harry Stairs all over the place, then just go check out that podcast.
That one. That one was really fun.
It was.
We're going to rant some more about Herondale Boys, I think.
Love
this.
Some Herondale Boys. For real.
For just, real, man.
Where do I sign Herondale up for that Herondale Boys. Herondale Boy bullshit?
Right. Anyways.
The bump.
So last time we talked about, you know, the first half of Chain of Gold, it split into two parts conveniently.
Yes.
Which is real nice. But the first part, it was basically, like, long story short is demons are a problem again after they haven't been a problem for a very long
time.
Right,
because we've sort of been in this lull where there's been no real demon activity.
Since the events of Clockwork.
The Infernal Devices.
Yeah.
The Clockwork War.
I think it's, So, all those friends are grown up and have kids, and this is their kids.
And their kiddos are great.
Their kids are
great. I stand.
Their kids are real great. And now their kids are running around, getting into trouble, as shadow hunters do.
Oh, yeah.
Demons. Always a problem. So we have demons. Problem again. But this book picks up where, thank you to the warlocks, because... Always like
thank you to Magnus motherfucking Bane.
Thank you to Magnus Bane. They didn't find him at first. They ended up finding Ragnarfell, I think.
Ragnarfell, yes.
Yeah. So they learned some info from him, what all this stuff. Anyways, in the end they have to go get a Pyxis to capture the Manticore.
Yes.
And so who has one? Hypatia has one.
Ah yes, Hypatia Vex, yet another warlock that we're going to go terrorize because we are shadow hunters and that is what we do.
Exactly. These poor warlocks, man.
They're just trying to live their lives.
Yeah, so they devise this plan. They get Anna Lightwood to help them seduce Hypatia so that
stand.
They can steal her Pyxis.
Yep.
To use it to capture the Manticore. So
and a Pyxis is a fancy demon.
A fancy box. Demon box. Yeah.
Not to be confused with demon box.
No, not demon box. It's a demon box for holding the demons.
Before you get your demon box, you gotta put them in a demon box. Just not your demon box.
Demon box TM.
Demon box trademark.
Yep. Anyway.
Pull your demon box.
We have to go get this. And so Cordelia ends up putting on this little storytelling performance-y thing as a distraction.
But it's also like a dance with a sword. And
yeah,
like,
it's
implied to be pretty sexy.
Yeah, it's definitely like a retelling of, you know, of a legend with a sword. So it's not quite a dance, but it has that sort of...
dance element.
Interpretive, right. Yeah. Interpretive story thing
think
going
slam
on.
Slam poetry with movement.
Slam poetry? I don't think it was slam poetry.
Fight me, Ginny.
It was more like a psalm or something like that.
A psalm.
Yeah. Anyways, it's a biblical thing.
Ah! I was raised a heathen.
Anyways, she ends up studying the crowd, and then Cordelia and James have a steamy moment. Wow, wow.
They get steamy.
They do.
Steamy. I was like, hot damn.
Yeah, she was.
Reading my bathtub, drinking my wine, like,
Well, this is what I came here for, okay.
Exactly. Hit me with that PG-13.
It's fun.
We are. It's a great time.
It makes these better, right?
It does.
And anyways, in the meantime, Lucy, Thomas, and Christopher are spying on the Enclave, and they learn that London is in quarantine.
Dun, wow, dun, wow, dun.
Wow. Ouch. That strikes a little close to home. And travel is banned from, like, all these... So portal travel is not permitted right now.
The biggest of oofs.
Yeah. Also, Oliver has died, and that was Barbara's. Not sure if they were fiancés or just, like, in a relationship, but he went to go see her, like, in the end, and he got, like, scratched, and so...
And then he died!
It's not, like, contagious, there's, like, a slim chance that it could be contagious, and he got it, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
He died. Well, the idea is, like, if you get scratched, like, the poison, like, transmits. It doesn't transmit, like, through the air, but
it
transmits, like, intravenously.
Exactly. So, anyways, that's a problem. They do get the Pyxis, and they... Oh, but this Pyxis has a demon in it already. So they gotta get that demon out so they can get the other demon in it. Because your demon box can only hold one.
One demon. So, one demon in the demon box at a time. Don't be greedy.
So they decide to just free the demon in the... I think they free it in, like, the sanctuary. I don't remember what they call it. Like, sanctuary or, like... So it's some closed room.
Yeah, it's basically... where Shadowhunters receive downworlders.
Yeah, so it's supposedly kind of safe. They kill it, but then enter Magnus Bane right as they kill it. He's just what the? What is going on here? And they're like, oh, hey, Hey, Magnus. Could you help us?
And Magnus is like, I shouldn't. He's like, I should. Because if I don't, you're going to do it anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Pretty much. He's just like, if I have to tell your parents. They're like, no, it's fine. We'll tell them. So
Magnus, I have this little note written down. It says, Magnus has serious, what are you doing?
Yes.
Well, energy. Like,
he does.
A la Eliza's confirmed kills, sheer white girl crazy. Mm-hmm. I then vibes.
He does. I mean, he's
put up with so much shit. Man.
Yeah, that's the thing. Just like now going through all these series and being like,
this is a Magnus Bane appreciation podcast. I have nothing else to report.
Dealing with every generation of these shadow hunters, specifically Herondale's.
Should take a note from Percy Jackson's book and just start slamming the door in their faces. No.
Who does that?
Percy in Trials of Apollo, which I don't think you've read.
Maybe we'll revisit that. Yeah, we should at some point. I totally meant to. Anyways, another series we should talk about at some point. But what's going on? They go after the Manticore, and Magnus is like, yeah, I'll help distract the mortals, the mundanes. And
the mundanes.
Then, demon fighting. James gets in trouble. Cordelia saves him and falls into the river. Lucy summons ghosts to save her.
Oh, yes, because Lucy is, like, queen of the ghosties.
She is.
Apparently.
Yep. Yeah, Jesse Blackthorne just be like, you called us. And she was like, no, I didn't. He's like, yes, you did.
No, I didn't.
Yeah. So, anyways, we also learned that Matthew has a secret in this point, but then we never learned what the secret
Matthew
is. So we'll
secret.
Have to come back to that.
We will.
So then... Let's see. The guys are going to hang out at Matthew's house. Christopher is real close to this cure for this
disease.
Yeah.
Infection.
This disaster.
What have you.
But then Cora demons just come after them at the Fairchild house. And that's
a problem.
A problem. Yeah. It's a big problem.
And then, lo and behold,
Christopher gets hurt.
God damn it, Christopher.
Yeah. Christopher gets seriously injured. And he has to go to
the Silent
City. Because I am very injured
now. A scary no-no place.
Yeah, so that's a problem. Then the rest of the crew is like, oh my gosh, and they go to the Fairchild house. And then James gets this note from Jem.
Ooh!
Right, ooh. Please, come right away, Jem. Oh, or, yes. Not Jem. Please come right away, James. It's important.
Same thing.
Oh. Right, it is the same thing. It's important. I must talk to you immediately. James is like, I gotta go. Brother Zachariah is calling me.
Uncle Jem's calling, gotta go!
Yeah, pretty much. What is it? The Hamilton line? Daddy's calling.
Oh, shit.
Hamilton. Right.
Call me, son, one more time!
Yeah. Anyways, James is like, I gotta go. And they're like, all right, cool. So the only, like, sort of like the closest portal is through a cemetery. So they gotta go to the cemetery, go to Silent City. And then James goes, he sees Christopher, and Christopher's like, we only need the roots. The cure is almost done. And James is like, okay, cool. And then all the...
But where's Jem? There goes my uncle.
Pretty much. And everyone in the infirmary, all these shadow hunters that are diseased, start like chanting his name, and it's really creepy for a
it's
moment.
It's very creepy.
They all just like...
Big zombie vibes.
And, oh, yeah. It's real creepy. And anyways, when James finally does find Jem, he's just like,
I didn't call you, bitch.
A real message. You better leave, boy. You could be in trouble.
There's not been a gem here in 74 years.
Yeah. So when he comes back through the portal,
he's been scratched.
Has he?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't notice.
Yeah,
oh,
he
I
was think, grabbed by Christopher.
Right. Oh, right. Yeah, he was grabbed by Christopher. But now he sees this weird otherworldly gate.
Oh, yeah. That too.
And he's like, I'm going to go in there.
And Matthew like, don't
and
do it.
Are like, really? You're going to do that?
And James is like, I am, because I am Arendelle, and that is what
do.
Yeah.
So
and Matthew,
goes,
being the faithful parapetai he is like, I right, then.
You got a rope?
Tie a rope to your hand, Arendelle.
Yeah, then. Hold tight. Exactly. So they let him go and do the thing. Meanwhile, Lucy and Thomas go to get that root from Blackthorn.
Because it's just a big,
Banner.
Scary, like, someone has, it needs to be, what, fed with the blood of, like, a murdered... Mundane.
It's something very specific.
And it's like, it's a no-no plant.
It is a no-no plant. And who has it but Tatiana Blackthorn?
Because she has all the no-no plants.
She has all the no-no plants. You're right. So they go to Chiswick, and then they see Grace and Jesse's preserved body, and that's a creepy thing.
Gross.
Yeah. And then they get confronted by demons, too, and they have to fight the demons, of course.
Because the Shadowhunters, that's what happens.
Always, yeah. And James is in that demon-y realm thing going on. And then he finds his grandfather.
Who is Belial?
Belial. Yeah.
Who is Tessa's father, which mm-hmm. we now know. Good information. We now know.
Anyways, he...
He's the stealer of realms or something like that.
He is the stealer of realms. And he wants to possess James. Because he wants to possess his own blood.
Exactly.
And he couldn't do it with Tessa because she was protected by the angel.
Right.
But
so we're going to take advantage of the sun, and mm-hmm. then we're going to take over the earth.
Yeah, we are.
And James is rightfully like, I don't know about that.
I don't... Yeah. Mm-hmm. But Belial's was like, well, I command the Manticore and stuff, so mm-hmm. I can make these attacks stop and, mm-hmm. all this sort of thing. And I can heal the demon blood in your body and, all this stuff. And James is just like,
don't know about that, man.
Yeah, I don't know about this either. Anyways, at Chiswick, Lucy senses James is in trouble with her sibling powers. And she's like,
yes.
And she's like, and she commands Jesse to take her to him in the way that ghosts travel.
Oh, yeah. And Jesse's like, no. And Lucy's like, yes.
You have
and
to.
Jesse's
like, command no. You.
And then Lucy is like, yeah. I command you as ghosty queen.
Right. And he's just like, I hate this.
And he really hates that.
Yeah.
He's not down.
No, he's not down.
There was no consent.
No. But James has been in there for a long time. And so Cordelia and Matthew are like trying to pull him back. And mm-hmm. then Cordelia ends up going in after him.
Exactly. Because they have to cut the rope because it's all big and it's being pulled and yanked. And Matthew's being like dragged in. So they cut the rope.
Right.
And it's like, oh no, we gotta get James. And Cordelia's like, I'm going to throw Cortana and I'm going to cut through the portal. And
yes.
And then there's a Cordelia and then there's a James and there's a Belial. And then they're all like, hey.
Pretty much. And then. They make it out.
They do.
Cortana ends up, cutting Belial into pieces and whatever, so he can't rise again. Like, he's not dead, but he can't rise for, a while now.
So they think.
Right. So that's, there's that. And then James is near death's door, but then Jesse gives his last breath to save him, which was...
Black magic?
Yes, and they were going to use that to revive Jesse. So Jesse's not going to come back now. So we think.
Womp womp.
Anyways, later Lucy visits his grave and is like, I'm going to bring you back if I can. So we might see him again.
We might. And then so James comes back.
Mm-hmm. And then he's resting up in the Institute. And then Grace comes by. Because
apparently Grace and Belial are in cahoots.
I think it's more of Tatiana and Belial are in cahoots. And Grace mm-hmm. is...
A pawn.
Yeah. So we knew that Grace was weird and she was not up to.
She's got some black magic shit.
Yeah. So she puts that bracelet back on him and lo and behold, James is in love with her again.
Yep.
And who's Cordelia?
Huh? Cordelia who?
Yeah. So that's a thing that happens. Speaking of Cordelia, when they have this enclave meeting, they're all getting mad at
James for, because Tatiana is like, he burned down my house.
Oh, yeah, because he did.
he did, but nobody needs to know that.
Oh, yeah, Grace told him to.
Exactly.
That's the thing. Is
Grace is like, Grace burned down my house
because, whatever. So he did. He burned it down.
Because James is an idiot. Mm-hmm. No, because James is a Herondale.
James is a Herondale, and he's under a spell, which makes him
more of a Herondale.
Yeah. whatever. And then Cordelia's like, no, he didn't.
Because we were in my room all night.
And everyone was like,
Le gasp.
Exactly.
And Cordelia's like, I'll let you imagine what we were doing.
Pretty much. And then
and everyone's like, but no, your honor. But right? No. How dare you fuck the Herondale boy.
Exactly.
And James is like, what? And Matthew is like, huh?
And James and is like, Lucy I guess like, we should get engaged now.
And James is like, will you marry me?
For a year?
Like, yes. For 1 year.
Right. He's like, for a year, then we can divorce. And she's just like, oh.
Well, if we must.
Yes.
It's fine. Well, everything's fine.
Okay. And James is like, well, your honor.
And then you'll be a will and demand divorcee and not a...
Right. There you go. Your honor. I'm in love with Grace still.
And then Will comes in like, what?
Right. Will is like,
oh, you're engaged to Cordelia? Okay.
A car stairs?
Well, yes, I approve this match.
Babies, let's go.
Show me them babs.
But yeah, so drama, that's kind of our big thing that happens at the end. Supposedly Matthew has a thing for Cordelia too, though.
Matthew has a thing for everybody.
I mean, that's true.
Matthew has chaotic bi energy, and I relate so hard.
And at the end, there's this little epilogue where we see that Tatiana is going to Silent City, I think, is where she's being sent. Or she's sent, being sent to, like, the female version of the Silent City is where they make the weapons. I forget what it's called. I forgot what it's called at the moment.
It's where the Iron Sisters are.
Yes, that. Exactly. Ooh, which might be why we're getting Chain of Iron next.
Oh!
But yeah, so it's revealed that she's in cahoots, so... And the demon be like, well, you're going to a great place so you can defeat them from the inside.
Yeah!
Yeah, that's what we got.
So, yeah. And I think that takes us about halfway. So we're going to go ahead and take a brief break. Cool. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about...
Characters,
and our thoughts.
Our theories.
And also address a little bit about Cast Long Shadows.
Matthew, not the fat child.
So stay tuned for that. See you in a bit. Okie dokie.
We're back. And we have thoughts and feelings.
Thoughts and feelings.
Yeah.
You go first.
Well, luckily we don't have any new characters to talk about, which is nice.
We do not. We just have
We just had a lot of characters in the beginning I'll throw at us.
Zooming in. So we're not going to do a roll call again because we already did that.
I mean... And yeah, I liked not getting like new characters because I had time now to digest the ones that we did get.
Right.
And I love basically all of them, which is cool.
I do too. They're all small beans.
Yeah.
My
favorite is Lucy.
Yeah, that makes sense. I love them all so much. Don't make me choose my child. If I had to pick, I'd probably pick Matthew.
Matthew's probably my second right now. I'm just like, oh, you small child.
I just want to give him all of the hugs.
Yes, pretty much.
And protect.
Yeah.
So since we're sort of on the Matthew stan train, let's go ahead and talk a little bit more about Matthew. So Matthew is presented as an alcoholic.
What is James called? Like, you showed me this the other day where he's like, oh, yes. He's taking roll call of the gang, basically.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, oh, yes, we have Christopher, the... Like the inventor, or
he calls him a thought.
He does, right?
He calls him the Edwardian version of a thought.
Yes.
Libertine.
Libertine.
Yes, that is
Matthew the Libertine.
Ah, yes.
So that's what Matthew is. That's who Matthew is. Basically, he's defined a lot in this book as, you know, the drunk, chaotic friend who just like
does.
Yeah,
but we know that he is truly a sad boy.
You do.
And he kind of alludes to that.
Mm-hmm.
In the second half of the book, there's a moment where he's talking to Lucy?
Yeah, I think so.
Where he's like, you can never know my secret. If you knew that, then blah, 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 blah. You would never forgive me.
Mm-hmm.
And Lucy's like, I can't imagine that you'd be that terrible.
He's like, because, oh, but I am.
Right, because Lucy acknowledges his alcoholism.
Yes, that's true.
And then Matthew sort of tries to make up for it in that sense. And is like, well, if you knew the things that I had done, blah, 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 blah. Then you wouldn't care.
So what has Matthew done?
So, as we learn in Cast Long Shadows, which is the first chapter in the anthology Ghosts of the Shadow Market, which follows Jem around doing his silent brothery things.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah. So, that story finds us with Matthew in the Shadow Market.
Mm-hmm.
No shit. Hello.
Hi. Goes to the Shadow Market. We were in the Shadow Market.
Finds Matthew in the Shadow Market, and he's like prancing with all these fairies and like living life, and then he just walks up to...
He's like early teens, I think.
Yeah.
He's still like 15 or something like that.
He's being a stupid teenager.
Yes.
He's doing what stupid teenagers do. He's like, Uncle Jem, can't I call you that? And it's like, because I feel like since Matthew's my favorite tie, I should call you that too. And he's just a great...
He is. He's happy, this pure, lucky kiddo. Happy boy.
He is, and sort of while they're looking, or while they're walking around, it's written in this flash-forward, flashback kind of manner,
right,
where this whole time you're being juxtaposed with Matthew now, with Jem and Matthew at the academy, prior to being expelled for blowing up a whole thing at the academy, as one does when your parabatai has been expelled. So,
well, he's being dramatic, well, I can be more dramatic.
Exactly.
You'll expel me now.
Exactly.
I'm going to get the whole gang expelled, actually.
Right. Well, Christopher already had one foot out the door. Let's
exactly.
be real.
So then when Matthew's just like, all right, we need a clear gang explosion.
And this is why Ragnar Fell has trust issues.
And that was hilarious because Ragnar Fell appears later in that.
It's like, Christopher Lightwood, where is he?
Oh, no.
So,
this poor man. These poor warlocks.
These poor warlocks. Long suffering as they are. But anyway, so it's sort of juxtaposing this. Mm-hmm. And we learn at the academy that Matthew and sort of the whole band of Merry Thieves is being bullied by
Alistair.
Alistair Carstairs. God damn it, Alistair. One job. Yeah. And we're taken into one of these scenes where Alistair then implies that Matthew is an illegitimate child.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, funny, you don't look like your father or your mother. And how funny that is that you favor Gideon Lightwood and your mother spends so much time with him. Like, oh, mm-hmm. such a shame that you're a bastard son and everyone knows this but you. And this gives our poor Sunshine Boy a massive complex.
Mm-hmm.
And we sort of see him wrestling with this throughout the series. Or throughout that excerpt, excuse me. So we see him wrestling with this. So when we juxtapose back to the Shadow Market, he's like doing his Matthew Sunshine thing and chatting up all of the vendors.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is a fairy who is selling potions.
Potions.
And it's like, oh, I love potion for you, though you would not need it, my bright boy, and all this other shit. And it's like, this one will tell anyone,
will make anyone tell you the truth.
Yeah. And Jem, we see this through Jem's point of view, where he kind of notices Matthew kind of like,
oh, potions.
Yeah. And then Jem's like, no, we're not going to do this. But he's there to meet somebody else. So he goes and he has that meeting, and then he's not paying attention, and Matthew goes off and does.
Mm-hmm.
And he buys this potion. And then we're sort of back in current timeline, but through Matthew's point of view one more time, and we're seeing him at breakfast with his family. And he sneaks this potion into
these scones.
The scones.
That his mother loves so much.
Exactly. And shortly after that,
She collapses.
She collapses.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Gideon walks in, and Matthew is angry and then frustrated, and because he's a kid.
He's a kid.
And then Charlotte's ill enough to be taken to the Silent City.
Mm-hmm.
And
call Brother Zachariah.
Or I don't know if she makes it all the way to the Silent City, but there's,
I think they get him over there, actually.
Yeah. Jem comes over.
He comes over.
And they're
attending to her, but
Henry's having this conversation with Matthew, and Matthew loves Henry so much, and like, it's so touching to see how much he cares for his father, and it's heartbreaking to see how genuinely upset he is by the implication that he could be anyone's son but Henry's.
Oh yeah.
And this whole time Henry's talking about how excited they are because Charlotte was expecting, and how excited they were to have both Charles and to have Matthew later, and how they had waited so long for both of them and it just been trouble conceiving them, and how excited they were to finally have a girl.
Yeah.
And about how Matthew, with his fair hair, was named for his aunt Maddie, who he never had the chance, her great aunt Maddie, who he'd never had the chance to meet. And he wouldn't want to be called a girl's name, so his name was Matthew, so that way the shortened form would be the same, and she had the same light hair and the same disposition. And this whole time Matthew is just spiraling.
Yeah, he's just like, oh.
And then they learn that the baby didn't make it.
Mm-hmm.
And so Matthew sort of takes this responsibility upon himself, and he blames himself very much for murdering his sister.
Yes.
As he sees it. And he's haunted by that through the entire series at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, this leads him to drink, and Jem sort of takes him to the side at the end of the story and is like, we can talk about this. It's like, you know, I knew somebody. William.
Yeah.
Who, you know, held secrets their whole life.
And it ate him up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, of course, Matthew was like,
Matthew's just like, nope, I'm going to take this to my grave, too.
Exactly.
And so now he's our resident sad boy.
He's our resident sad boy.
With the haunted past.
And I love him so dearly. And
what's with these Shadow Hunters killing their siblings?
Oof. Oof. Biggest oof. And, like, Thomas lost a sibling, too. Shit.
Yeah. All the girls, too, man. The sisters always die.
Yeah, bad to be a sister in the Shadowhunter universe.
Yeah.
Cecily, look out.
Watch out, Cecily. Watch out, Lucy.
But, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's more about Matthew and sort of where we're at in his point of the story.
So he's very much drowning his sorrows in alcohol, and you know how Will was very pushed people away. Mm-hmm. Matthew's kind of doing the pull people at a distance thing too.
Right. He's not doing it quite as aggressively.
No.
But he's definitely keeping them at arm's length.
Yeah, he definitely, and a lot of them realize that, I think.
They know something's up, they just don't know what.
Yeah.
Because the other thing is nobody knew Will before he was angsty emo boy.
No.
But everyone
right, but
knew
Matthew
while this was happening.
Mm-hmm. So definitely, especially the Herondale, Matthew has this point, he almost tells James, but then he doesn't.
Right. But all that to say, Matthew is my favorite, and I want him to get better, and I want him to see that he's worth love, and he's worth all these good things, and I just...
And I'm sure that we'll have him... I think we're definitely going to learn about his secret during either Chain of Iron or the third book, you know?
Right. So. Let's talk about these love quadra hexagons.
These love everythings, yeah. Everyone's in love with everyone, and long story short.
It's both great and awful at the same
time. Okay.
Because James loves Grace, but he also loves Cordelia, and Cordelia loves James, but Matthew might like Lucy, and Lucy likes Jesse, and Matthew might also like Cordelia, and Matthew doesn't not like James.
Right?
Matthew is the chaotic bi energy I aspire to be.
He likes everybody, for sure.
And then Thomas and then Alistair.
Then Alistair and Charles and...
Ugh. I love how Alistair basically told Charles to get fucked.
He did.
I was like, bless.
Yeah, there was this moment where Alistair was just like, no, I'm not standing for this anymore.
It's like, I'm better than that, thank you. Yeah. And I was just like, I stand.
Right.
I was like, you're still a dick and you still have repentance, but god damn it, Alistair, good job.
For real. We've seen Alistair grow. It's not that we've seen him grow as much as we've learned about him.
I think,
through this book. Like, we learned at some point that he... was protecting Cordelia he's always been protecting Cordelia.
Right.
And we see that in every instance where Cordelia is getting into trouble too. He comes in at the last
minute.
And
he swoops in to save her. There's that thing with their father, Elias's alcoholism, and Alistair being the one keeping it from Cordelia and sort of keeping her at arm's length from all this stuff. And oof, let me tell you, it was a hard moment when I began relating to Alistair Carstairs full of people. I was like, oh, this hurts.
Yeah.
So we learn a lot about him. I wouldn't say necessarily that he's grown.
No, he hasn't necessarily grown as much as that he's... Yeah, we've learned that he's more than just this jerk we see on the surface.
Exactly.
And, you know, he started bullying because he was bullied, so it just became like a chain of...
It became be bullied or be the bully.
Yeah,
he chose
exactly,
the bully. And Cordelia has this moment of, oh, Alistair.
Right.
And at the end, he dyes his hair back to normal.
He does, which is cool. It's definitely just a nod of growth, and I'm going to be myself and not
who everybody else wants me to be.
Exactly. But he's still got some growing to happen, yeah.
And everyone does. And
yeah.
I don't think there's anyone in this cast that I don't like, which I will say.
Well, Grace.
Oh, fuck Grace. But she's a baddie.
She's supposed to. She's supposed to be. I've also, so have you seen any pictures of them on, wikis or something like that, too? Because I was doing so. Grace does not look like I pictured her.
Oh, no?
No. I definitely pictured her, less witchy and more, very dainty and tiny.
I'm going to go look up what the Wikipedia picture of Grace Blackthorne is. I'm sure. Is it? It's got to be like that Cassandra Jean-Paul art. No, it's not. Interesting. Well, I mean, that's kind of the thing with books, too, is you can kind of picture them however you want.
Oh, yeah. For sure. But I was definitely just she looked a lot older, too, in that photo. Yeah.
She's drawn up really old in this picture.
I was like, okay. Speaking of
wikis and Ginny's discoveries, I loved when Ginny just sent me this screen cap of Brother Zachariah's aliases.
Yeah.
That was my favorite moment of this past week.
I was like, someone stands him real hard. But then she was like, wait a second, actually... I think that's a real canon thing that happens in Dark Artifices. I was like, what?
Oh my gosh. Shall I share? Here we go. Hold on. No, where are they?
Jem's Carstairs page.
Is it on Jem's Carstairs page?
Yeah.
God damn it! Jem Carstairs. Okay, yeah. This is the page. Age 151 as of 2012. That's old. Ford. I can't deal with the fact that Jem is canon Scorpio. And I just stand by all of my characterization of him. Anyway, brother Zachariah, Jemmy. Jem, I love to climb them car stairs. Brother Zachariah him like a bad pony. Mood. Brother Six-Packariah. Brother Hoppin' the Sackariah.
Oh my gosh.
Brother Lip-Smackariah. Brother Snackariah. Brother Let Him See My Rackariah.
Oh my gosh.
Jembalaya. Brother Hauntingly Attractive. And Gemnasium. All of which I stand.
Right?
Just say.
Yeah, but I was just scrolling on it, and I was just like, what is all of this? This is amazing. But, yeah, you were saying that you think those are actually all canon.
I do. I think they happen somewhere between Ghosts of the Shadow Market and In the Dark Artifices. Okay. I think that, yeah, those happen.
Gotcha. That's amazing.
It is.
Yeah, it is.
So any thoughts about this particular, we're close-ish to wrapping up, so any...
Well, going back to Grace for a second, I guess. So I had this moment while I was reading this book, I totally was reminded of, like, some vibe I also got from, mm-hmm. like, Grace and Tatiana, their whole deal with them living in this mm-hmm. abandoned house and just, like, living among ruin, basically.
Right.
And being isolated from the rest of the world. And when we reached part two, there was this epigraph from Great Expectations, which I read in college. thank you to... Intro to Short Story or something like that, and I hated it, first of all. I hated this book so much. It is massive. Let me tell you, like, I don't remember how many pages this is, but it's definitely thicker than, it was probably like Crescent City level thick.
Jesus Christ.
And it's Charles Dickens.
Short stories?
Right. Or maybe it's intro to fiction. It wasn't short story. But, yeah. It was intro to fiction. We read like two books because Great Expectations took us like...
A year?
Wait, no. Bleak House. Read Bleak House but Great Expectations I totally read in like high school or something then.
Okay.
Anyways, I read it at some point and I was just like, so when I read this epigraph, I was like, yo, there it is. It makes sense. So if any of you have read it or if you've not, basically, one of the big components in Great Expectations is like the Seda's house, which is this mansion basically frozen in time too. Mm-hmm. And Miss Havisham is this really old lady who's kind of creepy or whatever. And she has this girl, Estella, and the main character, Pip, is this young boy, and he ends up going over there to, like, help her with that. Or I don't remember what the whole deal is, but anyways, he ends up in this house. And so they learned about...
Was he trimming hedges?
No, but I think he's doing some, like, housework type of something or other thing, or something. Or she's, even though she's, like, this old lady, she's well-known. Something mm-hmm. kind of like a status-y thing too,
right?
And so she's gonna raise him to be like a young man or something, like, you know, teach him how to be teach him how to be proper or something, whatever, I don't know. But she has this girl Estella, and Pip is just kind of like, he's kind of like entranced by her too, but Havisham is like raising Estella to basically like break men's hearts.
Rude.
So that's this whole thing, is she's raising her, this girl, to like grow close to them and then just like tear them apart and stuff like that.
Well.
And to as her revenge from getting her heart broken, like devastatingly so too.
Oh.
So that's definitely kind of reminiscent to what's going on here. And obviously Cassie Clare took some inspiration from that book as well.
Right. It's like not a retelling.
Right.
It just kind of lives in that gray area.
Yeah. But I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. I kind of realize what's going on with that. We knew that Grace was not a good egg when we met her, really.
That's true.
And Tatiana is
a hot fucking mess.
Yeah, she is a disaster. There's that. But other than that, you know, and Jesse is an interesting one. I will say I'm interested to see what happens with that.
Interesting.
He doesn't seem on this Looney train.
He's definitely not on the Looney train, which is great.
Yeah, he's not. But he's an actual ghost now, mm-hmm. so bringing him back could be an interesting thing. Yeah.
But I'm excited to see what happens. Like I said, every trilogy that Cassandra Clare writes is just better, and her characterization is better, and I love these characters so much.
Man. Yeah. I mean, this is my favorite of the Shadowhunter books right now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I will definitely be reading the next one. I've already pre-ordered it in March.
It's coming out real soon, yeah.
And now I'm so excited. It was really refreshing to dive back into the Shadowhunter series, because it's definitely a sort of chronicles that I've missed
mm-hmm.
and characters that I've missed. And I love that I get to revisit my favorites again. And good vibes all around.
Indeed. And seeing Will as a parent, that's a I good love- time.
I love Will as a parent, and I love Tessa as a parent,
oh, yeah.
too.
She,
like,
she...
I like Tessa a lot more as a parent than I did as a character.
I agree.
And Will as a parent is just great.
Oh, yeah. It's great every time that, like, James does something chaotic.
Does some Herondale bullshit.
And, you're just, like,
and
we're
Will's
like,
look
yeah.
at this.
Yeah. It's like, aha.
Will reaping what he's sown. It's great.
Exactly. Listen. Yeah. And, man, and we talked about the Infernal Devices mm-hmm. love triangle in our Bantz thing, but the more that we read, like, everything we read,
the
like,
more pissed off we are about the resolution.
That's what I'm saying is, you know, we read Ghost of the Shadow Market with Jem Ash. It's like, are you kidding? Like, it's like, yes,
because Jem very clearly has emotions and is very clearly feeling things, whether Cassie Clare wants to acknowledge it or not.
Yeah, so between this book, I'm just like, and because Jem is constantly around,
mm-hmm.
so I'm just like,
it's gotta
bro,
hurt like a bitch
for reals.
But on that note, how many Brother Snackerias out of 5 would you give this book?
I think I'm going to... Okay, so I was giving it 5 out of 5 till we hit the arranged marriage trope.
God damn
and
it!
And I think that bumped me down, like it didn't bump me down. So, like, I think it bumped me down, like, half a star.
Uh-huh.
But then there's been enough to make up for that half a star that I'll still give it 5 stars.
5 Brother Snackerias out of 5. I agree.
Yeah.
Read this book.
I will look over that arranged marriage trope. For
know.
Now. Like, it's
I'm
that,
kind
it's
of
that
into
one
it, man.
Thing where we, like, we've talked about, I think we talked about on Serpent Dove where there's that one little YA thing that sometimes you're just like,
okay, but
fine.
In Serpent Dove, it didn't make sense.
Right.
Until, like, the very end where we're like, okay, I guess I'm going to make sense. But here, like, there was a very clear reason why he was doing this. It was stupid, but at least it made sense if you followed the train of logic. Instead of, you crash through a ceiling, now marry this boy.
Well... That's true. But you burned down the house. No, he didn't. Because I was sleeping with him.
Because we were fucking.
Okay.
And then
yeah,
Sona's like
moment.
Horrified and Will is scandalized. Yeah,
right?
Like,
the gasp, whatever exactly.
The gasp.
But then Cordelia, her explanation is just like, well, it was so outlandish. Of course people wouldn't think to
it's
deny
like, I wouldn't
it.
Lie about my honor.
Right? And everyone's just like, and yeah, that was the one I was just like, okay.
I'm like, yeah.
Sure. Right. That was one of those, okay, sure. Thanks.
Whatever. You're all dumb and I hate all of you.
But anyways, I'll still give it 5 Snackerias.
5 Snackerias.
5 Brother Snackerias.
Yes. Pick up Shadowhunters if you haven't checked them out before.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll be back 2 weeks from now.
Hopefully.
In theory.
No promises, but we will try our best.
I think we're reading Cinder next.
Yeah,
We're going to do rereads.
A reread for me.
Yeah.
Cinder was one of my top 5s in one of our very first episodes. Episodes of the podcast. So here's a quick summary of Cinder by Marissa Meyer.
Ew.
All right. So let's see. Humans and androids crowd the raucous streets of New Beijing. A deadly plague ravages the population.
God damn it.
Yep. From space, a ruthless lunar people watch, waiting to make their move. No one knows that Earth's fate hinges on one girl. Cinder, a gifted mechanic, is a cyborg. She's a second-class citizen with a mysterious past, reviled by her stepmother and blamed for her stepsister's illness. But when her life becomes intertwined with the handsome Prince Kai's, she suddenly finds herself at the center of an intergalactic struggle and a forbidden attraction. Caught between duty and freedom, loyal and betrayal, she must uncover secrets about her past in order to protect the world's future.
Cinderella in space.
Yes, it is a Cinderella retelling with a futuristic twist on it. Sci-fi futuristic cyborgs.
I'm excited.
Plagues.
Oh,
lunar people. Yeah. Fun times. But it'll be fun.
I'm looking
forward to it. It's a little shorter, too, so hopefully we can actually get it out in 2 weeks' time.
Well, that's the plan. And we hope to see you there.
Yeah. Till then.
Till then. Ginny said bye. You just can't hear it. Hey, guys. The adventure doesn't have to stop yet. Make sure you follow us on Twitter and Instagram at YAishDBC for more bookish content and the occasional cute animal pic.
Have a book recommendation? What do you think of the book we're reading now? Let us know at yaishdbc@gmail.com. Of course, don't forget to check out other recommendations we have for you on Goodreads. See you in the next chapter!